We're going to be looking this evening at the subject of God's abounding grace. You know, the Word of God says that God has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Life, everything we face. Godliness, victory over those calamities where we can successfully be in the will of God. We have an abounding God. The Word of God says in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." That's why we as believers ought not to be content with mediocrity. The Christian life is not to be a stagnant experience because we have the abounding grace of the Lord. You know, the Bible tells us in the last days, and you've read it in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 12, in the last days iniquity shall abound. And there's that word abound again. See, that's Satan's plan. Iniquity abounding. And we see it all around us. We see it with co-workers. We see it with families, with neighbors. We see it in the media. We see it portrayed in Hollywood. Iniquity is abounding. And evil men shall wax worse and worse. But isn't it wonderful that with Satan's plan, iniquity abounding, we have God's provision where we can be abounding in his grace and overcome the evil one. So therefore, we're going to be looking at seven areas where we can experience God's abounding grace. And I trust that these areas will challenge us to be able to leave this building knowing that his grace, his abundant grace, is sufficient. I would invite you to turn in your Bibles and note with me how that we are to abound in giving. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, that great portion of scripture that speaks about a special benevolent offering, a collection for the poor saints in Jerusalem where the church began. Reaching out to the Gentile churches, now the Gentile churches have an opportunity to give back. And I want you to notice in chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians how often the word grace is found. The word grace is found in verse 1. The word grace is found in verse 6. The word grace is found in verse 9. And then in chapter 9 and verse 8, the word grace is once again found. It is the major theme, giving by grace. Because we have been the recipients of grace, as the Macedonian believers had been, they were now exhorted to give by grace as well. And you know, there's a tremendous testimony. It's very often refreshing to see the great response on the part of new converts, isn't it? Even though they may not know a lot of the Word of God or they have not been steeped in the Word of God for many years, oh, they have a childlike faith. You look at the giving pattern of these in the Macedonian church. Notice the Word of God says in verse 3, they gave beyond their power. They gave even though it hurt. They gave, in effect, not knowing where it was going to come from. But their worries were not greater than their faith and trust in the Lord. And they gave beyond their power. And I like what it says in verse 5. They first gave their own selves to the Lord. The gift without the giver
is bare. And here they first gave unto themselves. But notice what it says in this matter of abounding in giving. Here Paul writes and says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." Do you notice the antithetical terms that are used here, all in verse 2? Sometimes you think, you know, I just am amazed at my life. It seems like it's filled with so many contrasts. Great blessings here and trials coming. And from some of my kids, I hear great news. And from some of my other kids, I hear disastrous news. And sometimes in between, and it seems like trials and blessings are intermingled. Well, look at verse 2. It says here, trial of affliction, abundance of joy. Wow. Antithetical terms. But I'd like to share with you a biblical response. In the midst of the trial of affliction, we can have abundance of joy. And then notice the antithetical phrase, deep poverty, and then riches of their liberality. You see, it all depends on how big your God is. It all depends on whether you have your eyes on the Lord or whether you have your eyes on the problem and on yourself. Here, these believers and recent converts in Macedonia gave beyond their power, it says. They were willing to give of themselves. The truth of the matter is, folks, the reason why we give, and I don't need to tell you this, because Central Florida Bible Church is a giving church, but the reason why we give is because we love the Lord and we serve a living, giving God. And no man can outgive God. God is a great, great rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. We're to abound in giving. You know, the word abound is the Greek word periseia. It has a prefix to it. The word peri, where we get perimeter from. Periseia means that in the perimeter of your life, God wants to abound in your life. He wants to practice Ephesians 20 and provide beyond that which you ask or think. Now, that's not health and wealth prosperity preaching. What it's saying is that God will always meet our needs and that no man can outgive God. We're to abound in our giving. Notice our second point, another area where the word abound, the word periseia is used. And we're to abound in our growth in the Lord as well. You're in 2 Corinthians. Look at chapter 9 and verse 8. We see the word again, abound, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. God is able. Didn't say you are able. God is able to make all grace abound. And that word abound, periseia, the circumference of your life, God is able to make all grace abound. That ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And you know, it's amazing. I've seen it in my life. When we give to the things of the Lord, God will bless and enable us to continue to give and go on to new ventures. And we've seen that in our church. And it enables us to grow spiritually. And having all sufficiency, abounding in every good work. Now, turn in your Bibles to a third area where the word periseia, or abound, is found. Turn to Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Note what the Word of God says. Now the God of, what's the word? Hope. The God of hope. And that word hope means confident expectation. The God of confident expectation fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Joy and peace comes when we believe and take God at His word. Now, sometimes we say that we're taking God at His word, but then we take back our faith. We trust in Him. And notice that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Not only that, but the word hope is found in verse 4. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have, and in the original you have the definite article, the hope. Whatever hope we need, whatever trial we're facing, we can have the confident expectation that we need by exercising faith. And certainly our hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. And here this passage in context is talking about the fact that Jewish believers and Gentile believers are one in salvation. And we've been grafted in to the great blessings that once we were alienated from. So we abound in hope, confident expectation. You know, we have a lot of areas of confident expectation. Some of you have children and grandchildren. Some of you listening to this message, and it's your confident expectation that God will lead them to the mates that would have His blessing in their lives. And you're praying, and that's your confident expectation. You're praying for the Lord's blessing in the lives of many, and that is our confident expectation. Let me show you another area we are to have hope. A different Greek word is used with reference to abounding in this particular passage of Scripture, but it carries the exact same concept. And here it's the word pleonazo, but notice in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, if you'll turn there with me. 2 Peter, the great passage of Scripture that teaches us arithmetic and how to add and how to multiply. We don't want to subtract because that means we're going backwards. But notice in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, the Word of God uses the term abound. And He says this, if these things be in you and abound. That's a different Greek word from parousia. It's the word pleonazo, which carries the idea of abundance. You know that passage in Romans 5:20, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds? That's the word pleonazo in Romans 5:20, the same word that is used in verse 8 here. But what's he been talking about here? Well, first of all, he talks about God's power in verse 3. He talks about God's power. Notice, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We have God's abounding grace. The minute we receive Christ as Savior, the Lord has supplied us with all the grace and power we need. All of the great and precious promises that we need for life and godliness. But we need to remember it comes from the full knowledge, literally, of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. And notice, we are given these great promises in verse 4 that we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we have in verse 3, God's power. In verse 4, we have God's promises. And he has provided these for us. And we are to abound in fruitfulness. Look at verse 8. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the literally full knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But it's whether or not, dear people, we're willing to claim what God has given us. It's not a matter of us somehow trying to add to our faith, verse 5, in the energy of the flesh. It's allowing the Spirit of Christ to work in our lives, to produce as we yield unto the Lord that faith and that virtue and that full knowledge and self-control and patience and godliness to brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. The fruit of the Spirit is produced by the Spirit of God, not by our self-efforts, not by guilt, not by some type of reverse penance, but it is a yielding in God's abounding grace in our lives. So we're to abound in fruitfulness. Let me show you another place where the word abound is used. Number 5 out of 7, we're to abound in love. We are to abound in love. In the book of Philippians, this great epistle which has its theme as joy in the midst of suffering and trial, in Philippians chapter 1, the Word of God speaks about the love that the Apostle Paul had for these believers in Philippi. He prayed for them in verse 4 of chapter 1. He was partners with them in the gospel ministry in verse 5. He believed that God was going to complete the work that he had begun in their lives in verse 6. In verse 8, he longed for them in the bowels of Jesus Christ, and he prayed for them. But notice what it says in verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all decision making, in all judgment. The Lord wants us to abound in love, that your love may abound. You know, when you look at verse 9, the idea of a husband or a wife saying to one another, I don't love you anymore, that ought never to happen if we have the love of Christ in our hearts. For church members to hate one another and to be in discord ought never to take place if we're surrounded by the abounding periseion grace that the Lord provides in loving one another. You see, the reason why we can love each other, even though all of us have our idiosyncrasies, the reason why we can love each other is because it's a love that Christ produces as we yield ourselves to him. And it's Christ loving through us and expressing that love. And oh, how important that is. We just went through the Thanksgiving season. Did you know that a sixth usage of the word abound is used with reference to Thanksgiving? But you know, it ought not to be a seasonal holiday. It really gets me. I heard someone, not in our church or even in our family, but I heard someone refer to Turkey Day. Doesn't that just cause the hair to rise up on the back of your neck? Turkey Day. Even the term itself is a symbol of greed and avarice and gluttony. But here we're to abound in thanksgiving. And it's not just one day out of the year, folks. Colossians chapter 2, notice, we are to be rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Just flooding over with a spirit of thanksgiving. I've often been tremendously challenged as I have visited with people that have gone through great financial reversals, family loss, and yet were able to give thanks to the Lord and to trust in Him. How we saw glimpses of that as we saw families totally, totally destitute by hurricanes in Texas and throughout other regions who had lost everything, and yet they were thankful that they had their family with them and that they were able to be together. Oh, how we're to abound in thanksgiving. You know, verse 6 says, as you've received the Lord Jesus Christ, walk ye in Him. Jesus Christ, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, was able to give thanks. Even at the table of the Lord, knowing what was to follow in the events of the upper room, He lifted up the elements and gave thanks unto God. We're to abound in thanksgiving. We can thank the Lord for that. That ought to be our goal. Let me give you one other one. And I think you could probably figure this one out. And it's found in 1 Corinthians 15, the great resurrection chapter. We are to abound in the work of the Lord. Notice what it says in 1 Corinthians 15, in this great resurrection chapter. Because of the fact that Jesus is coming, verses 51 through 57. Because of the fact that we have victory over the sting of death, because Christ bore that. Because Jesus Christ fulfilled the law, and He took away the sting of death. The Word of God says in verse 57, thanks be to God, which gives us the victory. We already have it through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding, there's the word, in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Our Lord, dear people, is the all-sufficient one. No matter what we face in life, He is sufficient to give us grace. Let's trust the Lord, and let's even enter into this week. Even though we may not know what this week may hold, we can thank God that He is sufficient. And we can abound in giving and in growth and in hope and in love and in thanksgiving and in the work of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, as we are ministered to through this great hymn of the faith that has blessed so many through the centuries, and as we meditate upon Your abounding grace, thank You, Lord, for that amazing grace that saved our souls. Bless us, Lord, as we would reflect upon these truths. In Jesus' name, amen.